When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Are you ready?
All right, everybody.
Pay attention.
It starts here.
Now that we're all prepared, let's start the show.
The conversation is about to get louder. You're listening to Migs and Swig. Don Migs, Ben Swig, and JoJo. From music to marriage, from politics to parenting, from dating to deep thoughts in sports. Get ready for Migs and Swig, Life Out Loud.
Let's get the show on the road!
Well, happy week after Hurricane Irma. I hope you people are all out there safe and sound. I know that we had a pretty crazy week with People with Power, and this is Don Migs. And, of course, you were joined all day last week with the storm and all the updates by Ben Swig.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you, because I was so worried about you, was everything okay in Beverly Hills that week?
Did
you guys get any?
I'm not in Beverly Hills.
Well, wherever, Mulholland Hills.
Wrong person.
LA.
I'm in the slums of LA, comparatively speaking.
All right. So was everything? Did you guys get hit by any power outages, any storm surge, any excessive wind? Did you guys get hit by Irma?
No, at one point when your wife came up into my room with the with the kids, with your daughter snuggled into my arm in bed, she would get up in the morning and say, "Uncle Don, is it okay if I lay in bed with you?" So she would come on my left side and lay in my arm.
I worry about that one.
And then Milo would be on my right arm, and Jasper would be jumping all over the bed. And then at some point we'd play hide and seek, and she would hide before you started seeking.
Yeah. She doesn't quite grasp it. But the funny thing about her, so I guess your kids maybe have Hatchimals?
Yes.
Okay. So my daughter's already killed two Hatchimals.
It's
but because she saw your kids in L.A. with a Hatchimal, she wants a Hatchimal. So my wife, you know, trying to raise her correctly, said, "Okay, well, I'm going to buy you a Hatchimal, but you have to do things around the house to help out. And every morning for, I think she said, 3 or 4 days, you have to make your bed in the morning. And then you can get, you know, reward and,
right,
you know."
Right.
So my crazy daughter has woken up every day for the past, since you guys have gotten back, at 3 o'clock in the morning and come in and said, "Mommy, Daddy, I made my bed. Come see. So she doesn't quite understand when you're supposed to do it.
God.
So she's waking up in the middle of the night, making her bed, and then
so
coming
cute.
In and checking us out. It's pretty funny.
Well, she would do things like she'd be under the blanket and she would go, "Uncle Don, I love you."
Yeah,
just
she's
the cutest thing.
Yeah.
But let me just tell you that I, just so it doesn't sound as dickish as it could, I was already going to L.A. for writing. So I had gone out early for a full week of writing sessions. So when I go out there without the family, I do two sessions a day. So I do one. I try to work out in the morning or go for a hike or play tennis or something, right, to just do some activity, because the minute I get in the studio, it's, say, around 10, 10:30, I'm in there until 10:30 at night. So I do two.
You weren't going to be here anyways.
Right. So I do two sessions. I do a morning one with the writer, and then a morning afternoon, and then I do a night one. And so then all of a sudden, Lisa's like, "We're coming to LA because the storm," and we all thought it was a joke. Lisa's like, "I don't really want to go." My father's like, "Oh, you got to go," because it was still at this point a total joke.
And like, it was coming to Miami Thursday. And you got, look, at the end of the day, it was the right decision. If you had the resources and the ability to get out and get out far, not get out to Orlando or Lakeland that actually end up getting hit, but just take the cone of uncertainty completely. Like, if you're going to evacuate from now on, and I know it's hard at the last minute, people didn't have a lot of options, but evacuate outside of the cone of, what's the word?
Possibilities.
The cone of certainty.
Right.
Right? Because that cone is 250 miles wide, I think, or something like that. So, obviously, as if you've lived in Florida or especially in the Tampa Bay area, we've dodged some major bullets.
Yeah.
Charlie was a major bullet. obviously Irma was. There's two other ones.
See, Ben, I've never had one. I grew up on Long Island, and so we had a couple of hurricanes there. And I remember one that like knocked a tree that knocked over our garage. But in general, it's always been like a really bad, just a bad storm. And so it's never hit home to me that this thing is really bad. Jamie, I don't know. Yeah. Did you get hit hard?
I was out of state for another reason. Like you, I already had plans. I was gone.
It was already out.
Yeah, I was up in Michigan at the time. But yeah, as far as storms here, Tampa Bay area is 97-0 for hurricane seasons.
Yeah.
We just never
one,
hit.
Last direct one was in 1932, 90-something years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, you know, there's a whole bunch of urban legends going around about why Tampa's
blessed,
you know, the Indian burial ground or whatever it is.
Good Lord.
But there's just, you know, we dodged a major bullet. And I think this one was a little bit different because Harvey had hit a couple weeks before in Houston.
Right.
You saw all the damage. This was a Category 5. It was expected to hit the U.S. as a Category 5.
So there was a frenzy. The media made it the frenzy. So we were fortunate enough to have people at our house, and we just said, listen, just our house is built really well here. So once they were like, oh, it's really going to hit, we said, oh, you don't need to board anything up. The only thing I care about are my guitars, and they're in a safe room, but the ones on the floor.
I said,
would you guys mind?
I take every single one of those, but on the second floor.
I didn't, but I have a second floor. No, in this studio, there's a second thing. So by doing that, I thought, okay, that's going to be all right. But I didn't realize that it was freaking people out because I'm working all day. So I also didn't get the news. So I'm not getting the media frenzy of like, oh my God, this is happening. So finally, like I call or my sister, one of us, we speak and you can hear they're terrified. Like there's real fear. Yeah. This thing is legit.
If you're just tuning in and that voice that you hear, you might not have heard for a while, but he is a co-host on the show. His name's on the billboard. Mr. Don Miggs, and you're listening to the Miggs and Swig show here on 102.5 The Bone.
We're JoJo-less.
That's right.
JoJo is
getting her cruise hat on and going on the Mike Calta 10, I think, cruise? Oh, 11? 11.
When she cruises, you know,
cruises and boozes.
Stuff is getting down.
Yeah. What's the over-under that she... How many times she sleeps with somebody?
No, I think JoJo. First of all, we kid with JoJo. She's a
so
beautiful
two and a half.
Soul, but there's a good
over
chance
under.
She has relations with somebody.
Let's not say sex. Has some contact with a male on the cruise. Over under 2.5.
Oh, it's guaranteed. I would give you any amount of any amount of money. Right. She will kiss somebody.
How much you like? How much money?
I put $500.
Okay, $500 on the over.
She will kiss somebody for sure.
Jamie?
Yeah, I got to take 2.5. I'm taking the over on
okay,
that.
What's,
I
mean, how much you betting? How much you betting?
I'll put down a nickel.
Okay.
Right. I mean, not $500. I mean, an actual nickel.
That's fine. All right. So we missed JoJo. We're talking, you know, Don hadn't been in, so we're just going to talk about some storm.
Well, and then
Yeah, I do want to talk about my experience, but we also are going to have my good friend, Tawny, my wife's good friend, Tawny, who she's known forever, who moved to the Keys about 2 years
ago. Tawny Katane from the
White Snake videos.
No, not Tawny.
That was my first time playing. What can I say?
Nothing. Finding your lightsaber?
Finding my lightsaber.
Have you seen
video.
Her?
Oh, no. I'm not talking about now. Okay. She looks like a train wreck. But I'm talking about when she was dancing on the Jaguar with the rain.
Yeah.
My lightsaber was full of glow with that one. But so we're going to have Tawny come call in. She, like I said, has lived in the Keys, moved to the Keys a couple of years ago. Wasn't going to evacuate. Decided at the 23rd hour to get out. She got out. And now she's like basically they have a border set up. Like the border of Mexico or the border of another country where you can't go into so she can't go see her house. So they're all lined up almost like a camp right outside of the last checkpoint. I think it's a mile, I don't know where it is, 60-ish or something before the Keys. So she's going to call and sort of share her experience. It really sucks.
But please know, like any of the jokes, and even while I was in L.A. and I was there to work and my family did come out and we were very fortunate, I am not belittling the fact that a lot of people had it really hard. Tampa might have dodged a bullet, but a lot of people didn't. And our hearts are with you, and I understand how traumatic that can be.
Actually, there was an entire island of What is it, not they all fled to Antigua. It's a,
Barbuda.
Barbuda. That
Barbuda.
Was it. Literally every single person 90, on that island had to flee, and there's
it's crazy.
Nothing there.
The pictures
anyone die there?
There
yeah,
only no. one person. Someone only died. One person, and I think it was a baby, which just makes it worse. But if you looked at that island, and with 90 to 95% of all structures on that island, not just damaged, pretty much demolished.
Gone. Yeah, it's
and
nothing.
Only one person died. I mean, it's a miracle, really.
How many people were on that island?
It's a smaller island. I won't say like 30,000, I think, is the number that was.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
I thought there was a 20 in there. But anyways, regardless, I mean, and so that's the images that we were seeing about this storm. And, you know, for me, I don't know what I was thinking. I figure that you guys were generous enough to take my wife and my kids to.
It felt like they forced themselves on
yeah,
us.
Yeah, whatever.
We're being honest.
Yeah, just semantics. But they came with you. And for me to be able to maneuver, if I had to maneuver and get out, it would have been a lot easier for to just be me and yeah. not have to deal with
of course.
Three or four other people, and including two young kids. So for me, you know, like, what was I going to do? Was I going to stand outside with, you know, black eye paint on and a bandana around my head and fight this storm? I don't know. I mean, I'm right on the water. I was mandatory evacuated. But we had just built this house. And there was just something about me that wanted to stay.
And thankfully, you didn't cut all the corners you could have on building that house.
No,
that's up.
I mean, that, the amazing the amazing
the
thing about
all over
it,
again.
Right?
Yeah, there
the
you
amazing
go.
Thing about it, I knew the structure would have been safer than any other structure that I would have evacuated to. Like I had an opportunity, and it probably would have gone if this the storm had changed courses on Sunday morning. But it was to go up north to North Tampa, and stay in a person's house that. Is block on the first floor and then frame on the second floor.
See, what I don't understand with you is why don't you just jump in your RV?
Well, so here's the thing, right? So Cletus,
that would have been a
so there was only one point where I sort of
cried,
lost it a little bit. No, Cletus. I just sort of panicked a little bit, and I don't know about panic, but I was just pacing, trying to figure out, okay, I got to get out of this thing because this was Saturday night. It was heading straight for Tampa. It was off the side. It was at that point, it hadn't turned due north yet. It was still heading north northwest. So on that track, it was going to hit right over Tampa. But worse, it was going to hit right over Tampa on the west side of us, which is the worst part of the storm. Is that upper east quadrant, which causes all the storm surge. So Saturday night, that track came out, and it was north northwest, north northwest. Every hour, I was checking it. And I sort of flipped out a little bit. I called my the guy who stores my RV. I was like, "Have you locked it up yet? Is it all locked down? Can I get it out?" And, you know, I was going to leave, but he had already. I got some hair in my mouth. Delicious. He had already locked up and put some stuff behind the doors to reinforce them, so I couldn't have gotten him out. But I was going to take Cletus and just drive. And that was the only time through the whole process that I was like. Freaked out a little bit.
Well, did the media make
yes.
it worse?
Yes.
Okay.
And my parents, especially my mother, I love her to death.
Come on,
but,
Nana Patty.
But CNN, Fox News, MSN, all this 24-hour news cycle.
Freaked everyone out.
Freaked everybody out. And then once it hit Tampa, you really saw how they make a situation so much worse than it actually was, right? So you look at the coverage of their coverage of Tampa when the storm went over us compared to the local news, you know, Tampa was CNN and Fox News, they were all trying to make it look like it was some huge, like the reporter outside can't even stand up, he's going back and forth, and oh my God, these winds feel like pelting rain. Yeah, but you turn on the local news and they're basically giving high fives and like we dodged a bullet here.
Except Mayor Buckman.
Buckhorn.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
You didn't vote for him, did you?
No, I do. I like.
Buck. Okay.
And I get embarrassed that I just forgot it. He's in my book. I mean, that was just stupid.
That's pretty bad.
I'm sorry. So
dump it.
No, he's a nice man.
Too late
and
now.
He's good. So he was on the Today Show or something, and he said, you know, basically, our city, our pipes are held together by duct tape. So anything could happen, you know, it's been a lot of years. So when you hear that and you're not there, I could see how everybody is like freaking out. And it, I mean, it bled over to us in only the fact that my brother-in-law, Chad Cronister, who's the new sheriff, who did it a great job.
Everyone did.
But I mean, I'm proud of him because he just had gotten into the position. He's not even sworn in until the end of the month.
Right.
And he did a bang up job.
Yeah.
For sure.
And you know, it's times like this. And I saw, you know, I know Buckhorn is a Democrat, but I think in city politics, it really doesn't matter. But he said something that, you know, it's times like this where, you know, people, libertarians, Republicans, you know, talk about not needing government. And I think that after Katrina and the travesty that happened to the people in New Orleans, you know, the FEMA really got their stuff together. And they were prepared for, you know, the three phases, the preparation, when the storm hits, and then the building and the aftermath and getting everybody back. And I think, if we lost electricity, and some people still in the Tampa Bay area don't have electricity, but we still are around to talk about it. You know, but they're still around to bitch about not having electricity.
Well, but I thought, so from that, when Chad said, hey, it's going to be bad, my mother and father live in Largo. So I call and say, you guys have to get out. My mom's like, oh, we're not leaving. Your dad's boarding up the windows. I'm like, he's 71. He's boarding up the windows. He's boarding up. We're going to stay. But my house is certainly safer. We're just going to stay, Donnie. So I got mad and I yelled at them. All right. So that kind of thing happens because you're just sort of freaked out. And then the last thing in the aftermath, I get home. Well, no. Once the power goes out, I tell everyone who's staying at my house, you're fine. We have a generator. It's a big, beautiful generator. Well, and they just had tested it Monday before. Turns out a rat ate through the line. So the generator doesn't go on because of a rat ate through the line, which also makes me think, how is there a rat? But I guess rats get everywhere. I don't know.
Yeah, the storm definitely. And people in California, like you watching it, I think sprinkled a little Miracle-Gro on how bad it really was. I mean, look, it was terrible. Devastation was horrendous. But the national news, what I've realized is that they can't admit they're wrong, or they have to. They, you know, they spin. They had Anderson Cooper in Miami, and then when they figured out it wasn't going to Miami, they jumped him on a plane and came to Tampa.
Yeah,
you know, they're trying. They were inside the cone of uncertainty, and
they moved
everybody around. But
well, we're gonna get to talk a little more storm if anyone wants to about it. But we're gonna
JoJo text me. She's a little mad about the little bet we put about the over under. She's taking the under.
Is she?
Yep.
She's
on 2.5 time with a contact with a male.
800-771-1025. If you want to talk about JoJo's under and over, we're gonna talk a little bit about the storm. We're gonna talk about Trump and the DACA deal. I want to talk about the iPhone and any news that isn't politics or hurricanes. That and more when we get back here on the Migs and Swig Show. Great. It's a new Foo Fighters. Did you see the video? They just did a cartoon video, an interview with Dave Grohl, where he talks about the making of this record. And if you haven't seen it, find it.
Is the record out yet?
I know they released it. Just came out.
Yeah, just dropped.
But you guys should go find that. It's Foo Fighters. Let me just see. If you go to Foo Fighters Facebook.
It sounds like I would like it because it sounds like they've switched. Like you couldn't really tell that was a Foo Fighters.
No, you can't. It's great. Yeah. And so what's funny about this record to me, and then we'll get back to other stuff, but this is more exciting to me, is that Greg Kirsten is the guy who made it. So Greg got his start with, he produced a band and did a lot of work. Maybe he was even in it, called The Bird and the Bee. And I work with someone who was in the Bird and the Bee, who now works for Greg, this girl, Wendy Wang. We've written a bunch of songs for Paris Carney together. And so I'm watching the video, and it's all cartoon. It's great, guys. You really need to watch this thing. So it's him talking about, so I heard this group, the Bird and the Bee, and it's, oh, my God, I love this. Who did this record? It's this guy, Greg. Oh, my God, I'd love to work with that guy. So now Dave's in Hawaii, and he's sitting somewhere, and he sees the guy, Greg, and he goes over. He's like, I'm such a big fan. And Greg's like, oh, they become friends. They're surfing together. Never once does music come up. And then Dave goes back and says to his manager, getting ready for the new record, I want to do something totally different.
So he had this guy produce that album?
So he said, I'd love to work with this guy, Greg. Now, who else Greg has produced? Adele, he did Hello, that big record.
Like he was some no-no.
No. He did all the biggest records, worked with Sia, but all pop. So then Dave said to him, my God, wouldn't it be funny if we did something? Greg said, I would love to. So they're like, okay. And he said, what happened is that Greg is such a good producer of making things sound bigger and better. So those riffs you heard, when Greg put his thing on it, it sounded actually bigger instead of smaller. So the funny thing is, as they're in the studio, Dave's outside writing some lyrics to a song, Concrete and Gold. Who's walking by? My friend Sean Stockman from Boys to Men. Literally walking by, and Dave said, hey, do you want to come in and sing background vocals on something? And now I've worked with Sean. I'm working with him now doing a solo record. I shouldn't say that. I'm working with Sean right now just doing songs. I don't know that there's going to be any record. So Sean is, from Boys to Men, is one of the most amazing singers I've ever been in a studio with, because what he'll do is he'll go behind the booth and he'll say, just pull up 24 tracks. And I'm just going to sing the root. So he'll sing like, so la, like la, 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 la.
It's like freestyle.
He has no idea what's going on. I'm going to go la, 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 la. Then he goes, I'm going to double it, triple it. And you're trying to move, like you're literally sweating as the engineer, trying to go quick enough because he's singing it so precise and perfect. We were just in the studio and it was him. I'm sorry I'm going on about this. Him and this guy, Nate.
Sorry, we got 3 hours.
Who's the drummer of Halsey. And he and I are writing a song with Sean. So Nate's sitting behind me and I'm engineering and Sean's in the booth singing. And Nate's behind me going, I can't even believe I'm watching this. I can't believe I'm seeing this, because it sounds like somebody, you know, with music now, you can edit it.
Yeah.
You can tune the vocals, do all this stuff. You don't do any of that with Sean. And then he's doubling it, tripling it. Then he's doing the next harmony, the next harmony, the next harmony, doing all this crazy stuff.
Is this the first time that I know that he's worked on a lot of albums? Actually, I know it's not, but he's worked with Butch Vig most of his career with Nirvana and Foo Fighters.
Yeah, yeah. And what he has done, this is the first that he's really made sort of a difference. But then when he's done with Sean Stockman, this is how small the world is. I just produced 4 songs for Boys to Men. Who did I have play sax on one of them? This guy, Dave Kaz. So who's the next?
What's his cause?
Dave Kaz is a sax player. He's like the king of smooth jazz. Who's the next guy? After Sean sings on it, Dave Grohl says, you know what? I'm going to get other people on this record. It's just going to sound better. Who's the first person he calls? Dave Kaz to play sax on something. So it's a really weird how small the world is and how like the 2 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
It's like all these people are on this record.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time for our 3 hours on the Migs and Swig show here.
But we're going to get back to Ben Swig.
Yeah.
We'll get right back to him. Ben, let's go back to you.
Yeah, let's go back to me and the hurricane. So before the break, we were talking about the hurricane and why I stayed. And I got some pretty opinionated texts from people I know and comments on my social media page. But I knew that my house was the best, as far as the wind and the storm goes, probably was the safest structure to be in, because it's block all the way up. Now the issue that was worrisome was the storm surge. But you know, JoJo did a tremendous job here for the radio station. I think for the people of Tampa Bay, she was on at, 8:30 until 7, so she almost did 11 hours of radio.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So
Drew came in from 8 to 10. We had our show from 10 to 1, and then Mo went all the way till 7. JoJo stayed for – no, Ian Beckles, I'm sorry. Ian Beckles came in from 1 to 3, and then –
Man, you must really like to be on air, JoJo.
So JoJo stayed to 1 to 3. I went home, took a break, and then came back, but she did it all the way through, and I think that – from the calls and everything went on, I think people really appreciated it. You know, I think the greatest thing about emergency or natural disasters is to see people come together. No one's arguing. There was a few fights of people who panicked over some water bottles and gas, but you know, that was just the frenzy of all these pictures and the doomsday and what was going to happen. But it was the first time that I've done radio in a situation like that, and it just took me, for those, I don't know, whatever, 7 hours, 8 hours I did, it just took me outside of myself.
Right.
You know, and I wasn't worried about, and you know, it didn't matter if I was good or not, but or we were good, but it took me out of my own self.
And, well, I heard you weren't, but that's not important in this conversation.
But it was actually, you know, I don't know if an honor is the right word, but you know, just to talk to people, we just had the phone lines open and people were people calling? Yeah, oh, yeah, constantly. People were sharing information about, you know, that's basically what we were for that day. When we had our Fox affiliate, Fox 13, and when something, a news conference would happen, we would switch over to their coverage. And people would call in and say, you know, there's gas at XYZ gas station, there's water bottles, there's water at so-and-so Publix. And so it was a community thing. We didn't talk about anything but the hurricane for you know, eight to 10 hours or whatever it was. But
was that hard for you?
No,
when
but
none of the conversation revolved around you. I mean, was
no,
part
it was that was hard. Yeah, because you know, like I've said before on the show, I definitely ain't much, but I am all I think about.
By the way, I just made it in the garbage from
pretty good
clear
shot.
Across the room.
By the way, you're eating in the middle of a segment too. It's very unprofessional, but that's okay.
All right,
do we have somebody on the phone?
No.
All right. No.
He was just making his call for a new job.
You know, it's funny. They have this.
Get me off the show.
I don't know if you were around my wife or ex-wife.
I was around both so of them the entire time, and the five children.
Zello app.
Yes, and hearing you. Yeah, was, yeah.
So it's this app. I'm sure you guys, if you're Bone listeners, you know about it. It's basically a walkie-talkie. And remember those Nextel phones? It has even the same sort of beep as the Nextel phone, and I always wanted one. So we had a little fun with that during the storm, and Mike Calta had his, and you know, we were talking back and forth, but it really showed like we're just a weekend show. I mean, we do 3 hours on the weekend. The building's, you know, closed down. The lights are off. The AC is off.
Oh, there's no AC.
No, I'm talking about in this building on the weekends.
Yeah.
There's never. In this room there is, but in the hallways.
Okay. In the studio there is. The rest of the building, they shut it off.
Right. So, but somehow, you know, with JoJo and me and you, Don, you know, they've accepted us into, you know, the family, and I'm getting calls from, you know, Drew and Mike on the Zello app, just probably all during Sunday and into Monday morning, and checking up and making sure everything's okay. And it just shows you that I think through times of, you know, disaster,
right,
people put on their best, you know, hat or their best side.
Well, what did I say the week before? When are you best?
Yeah.
Exactly, then. Because the rest of the time.
At least something to be desired.
You're no walk in the park. But you were great. Hey, 800-771-1025 if you want to critique or praise Ben Swig for his efforts last week. We're happy to have you do that. Also, if there are any stories that you just want to share about the hurricane or anything else, we are here for you. And we do have somebody on the line at this very moment.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to put her on. After we go to commercial.
I think we're going.
Okay, let's do it now. Never mind. I've been overruled by
I don't know what Ben Swig is doing. Again.
So I just wanted to tease a little bit because she's such a big deal.
Doesn't matter if it's good or not.
Because she's such a big deal. So
Tawny Kitaen.
No, like I said on a first segment, we have a friend who lived in the Keys and was evacuated. Decided last minute to evacuate, and I asked her to call in. She can tell the story. So, Tawny, welcome to the Migs and Swig Show. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, Tawny.
Hey, we just wanted to give a shout-out first to our first responders, utility companies, and military, FEMA, everybody that's working hard to get us back in.
Okay. Yeah. Tawny, I need to do a little pledge here that you will not swear during Tawny. Tawny's got a little known thing for about swearing, so we just had a little side talk. But
swearing a god.
So Tawny, why don't you take us through what happened? And you guys were hunkering down, and then at the last minute, you decided to get out of town. And what happened then?
Yeah, we were going to stay, and we were in a pretty solid house, but we got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, found out that first responders were leaving, so we turned on the weather channel, and we saw that it was 165 mile-per-hour sustained winds, and we knew we could not survive that. So we took 45 minutes, packed up everything, and left. And we've been gone ever since.
And so the... I mean, because I remember seeing something on your Facebook saying that you guys could have taken, I think, 100-mile-per-hour winds and some small storm surge. And I was like, and I text Nadia, and I said, Tony's got to get out of there.
Yeah, everybody begged us to leave, so we did.
Yeah, and I think that was the smart move. Now, there is an issue getting back. And so where did you go escape is not the right word, but evacuate.
It was an escape.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy. As we were going up the Keys, there were no hotels available. We had no idea where we were going to go, but we were severely prepared for this. We still have 27 gallons of gas in the back of our SUV.
Oh, wow.
And in tanks. So we didn't know where we were going to go. We had friends from Aventura that took us in. We stayed there until Tuesday morning, and then we've been at the Hampton Inn in Midtown Miami ever since, which they are wonderful. They took us in, even though we have two parrots. But we did find out that as of Tuesday, Marriott's in Miami were turning away people with pets, and the governor said all hotels must lift pet policies.
Huh.
So I called the courtyard in Coral Gables, talked to the manager, and he said it was only during the hurricane. I said, no, it's during evacuation. He said, well, everybody's not evacuated anymore. I said, yeah, not Miami.
Right, right,
exactly.
So you're currently still up north of the Keys. Have you gone down to the checkpoint? I mean, I said earlier the border.
I call it the border. Yeah. I have no interest in going down there. It's a mess.
Yeah.
It's unorganized. There's no communication. People are angry. Everybody, you know, people are running out of money. We are very fortunate in the situation that we are in, owning our own business. But people are running out of money. They're living in their cars in Miami with their elderly parents and pets. And they don't know what to do. They don't know if they have a home. They don't know if they're going to have a job. They just don't know anything. Mm. There's no communication. And our county commissioners dropped the ball.
Yeah. So
the local government dropped the ball. They were not prepared at all. To think that our first responders down there don't even have satellite phones is pathetic.
Yeah. So they what island marker or what marker is the border set up on?
Well, it's Key Largo.
Okay.
But they opened that up 2 days ago, so now it's down to mile marker 74.
74.
As of this morning, the Monroe County Sheriff said that they were going to open up the Middle Keys today and the Lower Keys tomorrow, but they didn't give a mile marker. I mean, the communication is just awful.
Right.
And when you don't know if you still have a home, you don't know where some of your relatives are, your friends are, at least our government down there should be able to communicate with us and let us know what to expect.
Yeah.
And being shut out this long, by Tuesday, all the bridges were inspected and people were driving up and down the Keys.
And I know that I saw also a picture from, I guess you got on some satellite from space. I guess that's where a satellite would be.
Noah's website.
Saw an image of your house just sort of from the top down, but the roof was still there. It was still standing, right?
Oh, yeah. Our house is fine. We just, our landscaping, we have one tree leaning on our house. Our neighborhood looks really good. We are very, very fortunate.
Well, that's
we just want to get down and help people rebuild. We just want to get down and help everybody out.
Tony, we got to go to commercial, but can you hold over through the break and come back and talk with us some more? That was our good friend Tony, who lives down in the Keys. You have tuned to the Migs and Swigs show on 102.5 The Bone. We're going to come back, talk more about Tony, talk about the iPhone, talk about parenting, and a whole lot more. Migs and Swigs. Welcome back, everybody, to the Migs and Swigs show here on 102.5 The Bone. We will be with you for another 2 hours. now 10 to 1 for
the 2 hours?
Another 2 hours.
I don't have that.
Or a little bit less, maybe.
Yeah, I could do a little bit less.
But we're now a 3 hour show for next couple months until they can find somebody to fill that hour.
Somebody better.
Yeah, exactly. But on the phone, we have a good friend of mine and my wife's, Tawny. She lived in Key West. And she was all set to hunker down and have everything prepared. And then at the 23rd hour, she saw the kind of force hurricane. The strength of the hurricane was coming and evacuated. But she's been stuck in Miami because she can't get home. So we want to continue that conversation with Tawny. You still there?
I'm here.
So, Tawny, how are you getting information on when or and where and how you can get back to see your house?
Facebook.
Just,
that's the only thing they have provided for us. You know, we looked around. There was no communication whatsoever, and Facebook's the only way that we can communicate. And that's another thing. You know, they just don't have a plan in place. You can go on iHeartRadio and listen to 104.1, which is our local radio station.
Because it's down.
You know, they weren't on for a while.
Right. Now,
that's it. I mean, it's just sad that the communication and the planning is zero, and they spend so much on tourism commercials. You know, primetime commercial on any network is huge money. I would think that they would take some of that money and buy our first responder satellite phones, stock up on supplies, be prepared for the storm, not let the storm go through and then say, oh, we need help. You know, we shouldn't have to ask for that much help.
Now, I guess, to play devil's advocate, I'm not saying I agree with it, but the reasoning, I guess, they're giving the people who live on the Keys is if you go, they let you in, they go down because of what you just said about no communication, no cell phones, towers, no internet. No, if something happens, nobody can get to you. I mean, can you understand that?
Completely.
Right.
I completely understand that.
Your point is that they should have been prepared with a satellite, because satellite phones still work.
Yes, we bought one while we were here in Miami.
Oh, really?
Now we have one, personally. I'm not going through that again.
Are they giving you the information you're getting, any sort of timetable?
Said middle, from 70, mile marker 74, Middle Keys, today, and then tomorrow, Lower Keys and Key West. But they didn't put a mile marker on it. So, I mean, there again, if you rush down to mile marker 74 and you say, hey, you know, I heard Middle Keys, you know, I'm going to this mile marker, and they say, oh, well, it's cut off at this mile marker. You
right.
can't go.
Right.
You just gave up your hotel room. You just packed up everything and drove 2 hours.
Right.
I mean, it's ridiculous. And I completely understand that, you know, it's hard. There's mass devastation. But I feel like the planning is not there.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's the issue. I mean, with obviously the Keys, there's one way on and one way off. And if there's damage to the infrastructure, then...
So in that regard, I mean, I understand the... I think it seems like it's sort of no win, but you're right. I'm wondering what you do to prepare for something like this better. You know, is there something... obviously, you're still in the eye of this thing, so...
Yeah,
they didn't even have a shelter. So what they did, they did a mandatory evacuation, right? We have a lot of homeless people, a lot of people that have to have four jobs to live there. It's super expensive to live there. So a lot of people don't have money, and a lot of people just have a bicycle. What, you're going to ride all the way up the Keys on a bicycle? So they did not open a shelter until Saturday afternoon.
Well, but they were sending. Did they not have transport, public transportation, to get out?
Not that I've heard. Not that I've heard. I have no. There's no. Again, no communication. We have no idea what went on.
I mean, it's just.
We live right on US-1. I didn't see any buses going back and forth, busing people out.
Yeah.
Not having a shelter until Saturday was awful. People were going to stay on their boats. They don't have a car.
Yeah,
they had no way to get out, so they were going to stay on their boats during this. I had a friend on Facebook, she was going to stay on our boat, and me and my other friend, we begged her to go to the shelter when they opened it. Begged her, and she went.
That's a good thing.
Otherwise, she probably would have lost her life.
Yeah.
She didn't know that the shelter was opening. She had to use Facebook to find out.
So, I mean, I think it's one thing, you know, and the only way that I can relate to you is that even just going outside after the storm – to see what kind of damage and trees were down after my house sort of gave me anxiety. And so I can't even imagine what it's like to be a week out and just being, you know, not told a lot, not telling when you can go in, and not being able to go see, you know, except for the roof of your house from a satellite image, but what's going on and what kind of destruction is around you. And, you know, so I wanted to give you, you know, on air, because and I have to ask you this question because I saw it on your Facebook page, I think yesterday. If you could rewind the clock, would you have evacuated?
No, I would have stayed.
You really would have
the
stayed.
The house that we were in is fine. The whole house generator kicked on after the power went off. The gas company came out yesterday and filled up that generator so it can keep going.
Wow.
So
we would have had power, AC. We had 10 cases of water, 8 bags of ice, coolers, food for a month. We have the hurricane food. You just add water to.
Yeah. We ate it on the air last Saturday. We had a little breakfast, lunch, and dinner with that food. You're lucky you didn't have to get into it.
You know what, though? I mean, if that's what you got, that's what you got. And a lot of people didn't have anything.
So best case, you think that Tuesday is the day that... Now, what... I mean, not getting too specific and giving us your address, how far down do you have to go in order to get to your house?
We're mile marker 11.
Okay. So that would be considered Lower Keys, I guess, right?
Yeah, we're... You know, right outside of Key West. It takes me 10 minutes to get into town.
Now, so, do you know anything in your neighborhood? I mean, I know that I saw a picture that when you said you could take 100-mile-per-hour winds and, you know, a couple feet of storm surge, and I saw jet skis in your backyard. Are those still there?
The dock, we have a drive-up dock. We have a small pontoon and 2 jet skis, and it's actually floating at our neighbor's house.
So it's close.
Yeah. So the boat and the jet skis survived as far as we know. And all we have to do is pull the dock back. But, you know, like I said, we're way more fortunate than everybody else. And we, you know, they had people at mile marker 74 for the last 3 days.
Yeah, it's like a refugee camp. It's literally like a refugee camp.
Yeah. But these people were coming down with generators and gas and food and water, and they were turning them away.
Yeah, I saw some,
they wouldn't let them in.
You know, the news, I don't know if you were listening by the first segment, we were talking about the sensationalism, and, you know, I saw a couple people, there was a guy on a motorcycle who was saying he had to get back for medication, and there's certain things that, you know, when you evacuate, you don't really, I don't think anybody plans to evacuate for
exactly
2 weeks or, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah. That's the other thing. If they make you evacuate, they should tell you, be prepared for, you know, a month. They should tell you that.
Yeah.
A month worse case scenario. And I was at CVS 2 days before the storm, and the line was out the door to get medication.
Yeah.
So people were filling their prescriptions before they were evacuating.
Well, that's a good thing. And I just hope, I appreciate you coming on, and, you know, sharing some of your frustration. I feel your frustration. I personally am glad that you did get out, because
thanks.
Because who knows? I mean, at the end of the day, and I don't want to repeat the slogan that's been repeated all over, but you're here to talk about it, you know, and you're
and she could still go back to doing videos. The yeah. Tawny Katane videos.
Yes.
I mean, she's got that in her pocket whenever she needs to. Whitesnake needs a new album.
And they need a new Tawny. So they need a new album and a new Tawny.
This seems like a win-win.
Well, you know, we have a personal relationship, so I love you, and I'm glad you guys are safe. And I know.
I love you, too. I just want to say, I just want to feel normal tomorrow and watch the Bucks win. Can't wait.
Well, that's good.
There you go.
Well, good luck, Bucks.
And hopefully you'll get down there soon, and maybe you can call and you know, next week and give us an update on the damage, because you see little tidbits and look, it got hit hard, and there's a lot of rebuilding that's going to go down on the Keys. But the important thing is you're here, your birds are chirping. She's got parrots that talk, and they're so funny.
Yeah.
But answer the phone.
I'm not
answer
a parrot.
The phone when the phone rings.
I love Tawny. I'm not a parrot guy. So.
Yeah, but I'm a parrot guy when it's somebody else's
yeah,
house
yeah, yeah,
and you
yeah,
can go
you
visit
go.
And
yeah,
get amused by the conversation. Anyways, Tawny, we appreciate it, and hopefully you'll get down there soon. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thank you so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
And I think there's some...
We have Hank on.
We got Steve.
Steve, close.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. What's up, Migs and Swig? Swig and Migs, how's it going?
What's up, buddy?
I was thanking you, Mr. Swig, for being on the air last week during all the craziness. I can't say much for Migs.
That hurts.
Where you been, dude?
He escaped L.A.
I was working. I swear, Steve, I was working.
Yeah,
it was
Don,
not...
how dare you put your family safety ahead of this show?
What I don't understand is, Migs, you pay for all this advertising and airtime to be on the air for a couple hours, and you're not even on the show, but like once a year.
Yeah, no, but the good news is we're not paying. We are doing a good job on our show now, so my work is really done.
You don't have to pay him anymore? That's awesome.
It's a licensing deal that we have worked out with Migs. It's sort of like the Trump thing. It'll put your name on the side of the building for licensing fees. So we just pay Migs.
Rich by association, right on. Hey, what's the over-under on JoJo Bang and Drew on the boat?
I don't think that's not going to happen. Drew is, I shouldn't say anything's possible, but he had a conversation yesterday on a show that is a no-fly zone for him. So I think the chances of that happening are slim to none.
They're about as good as me being on this show every week for the next 6 months.
But when you look at, open water, male, female, a lot of drinking.
Thank you.
You know, anything,
you.
Anything.
Sexual tension in the Cox Media building.
Yeah, and so who knows? But I don't know if you listened to the first segment. We have it. I booked it. I handicapped it at, what did I say? Two and a half times that she hooks up sexually with a guy. Dawn took over. Jamie took over. JoJo took under.
What if she's not sure if it's a man or not when she's been drinking? It does it matter, sexual, male
no,
or female?
Doesn't matter.
All right, well, does not matter.
Yeah, that should increase the odds. That
does give us a better chance.
Steve, what do you think? Over under 2.5 times?
I'd say over.
There you go, JoJo. All right, Steve. Thanks for calling in, bud.
What good, another satisfied customer who hates me? That's good. It's good to know.
I don't know if that's the Steve that hates me.
And no. He hates me.
But maybe he switched his target to, because there is a Steve that's not too fond of me. He called me once a stinking liberal rich Jew.
Flaming. Well, besides that, what did he say? Negative. There's my best stuff. I'll be here all day, and not next week. No, I am here.
Where are we, Jamie? Here, time to go to a break.
Jamie doesn't.
Oh, we
care.
Got a little bit of time.
Jamie doesn't care. So
it's interesting that whole Keys thing and.
But she seems very, very angry, which I
she
get.
Is.
Right?
She with is. But and that was a toned down Tawny. Like I couldn't even explain.
But
to you.
You asked a question that was interesting. You're like, would you do it again? She's like, yeah, I certainly would. It's like, okay.
No, she
well,
wouldn't
no,
do
she
it.
She said she wouldn't.
I thought she said mm-hmm. she would.
No, she no. said she would stay.
I'm 100%
sure. Oh, I'm sorry that she would stay.
Yes.
Sorry. I thought she said, I would. I would stay.
Which is always a concern of mine. And so just a disclaimer, I didn't evacuate. But it's always a fear of mine here in Florida that people... I don't know if they get complacent, but I think after, Charlie, especially here in the Tampa area, I think if it wasn't for Harvey hitting a couple weeks before and then the damage of the islands that was shown, I don't think a lot of people would have taken this storm as seriously.
No,
you're right. And so my concern is that, these people go back to the Keys. Tawny goes back to the Keys and her house is fine, maybe a little damage. And as she says, next time she's not going to do it.
Right.
And who knows what's going to happen next time.
That's the problem. It is the next time, right?
Yeah, it is. It's always the next time. Just to play devil's advocate about something we were talking about earlier, because when Charlie came through, I was working for a news station at the time. So I was there for, I want to say, like 20 hours running the board and all that. And I understand we were talking about how like CNN and Fox News and all that, and they were overhyping what was going on. They do that on purpose, not for ratings as much, but because they got to tell people, look, you need to take this seriously because if it does hit and it's as bad as we think, then it's going to be terrible. And the first responders can't get in and save everybody.
And if you ever tell anybody I said this, I will deny it.
But
our governor, I think, did a really good job of that. I think they were on message from governors to city councilmen to police officers to mayors were very clear on staying on message, saying, you know, I said I wouldn't say it, but we can rebuild your houses, but we can't rebuild your lives.
Yes.
I mean, that's a pretty powerful.
Yeah, I have not been a fan of Scott either, and I thought he was on point for this.
Yeah.
Really honestly, I think in general, I'm sad for someone like Tawny, what she went through and how she feels about it, because here, I certainly feel like the people that needed to showed up. They did what they needed to do. And I mean, I left, but the people who needed to showed up.
Yeah. And again, it's, you know, it's obviously a terrible thing when natural disasters happen and what happened in Houston and then us here in Florida. But, you know, the silver lining or the bright side of it is that, you know, here is somebody who personally, just from Rick Scott, not a fan, but because he did such a good job in that moment, I was a fan.
Right.
And you know, during 9/11, obviously not a fan of Bush, but when he spoke and he gave that speech, I was in tears.
Right.
You know, and so it's moments like that that sort of put all the political stuff, all the other nonsense aside, and it's just like,
totally,
we're one state, who everybody's going to go through it, no matter if you're rich or poor, you're
exactly
going to get affected.
Well,
so anyways,
we got a lot more to come here on the Migs and Swig show. We are going to get a little political, then we're going to get non-political. We're going to get family and talk about children. I had 5 of them with me for a week, so I don't know who had it worse, Ben or myself.
That's a good point.
And we're going to get to that much, much more here on the Migs and Swig show.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.